Well, good morning. We are here to honor God as we remember the life of Brianna Curte. On behalf of her family, I'd like to welcome all of you and thank you for being here. As we begin our time together, let's begin with a word of prayer and ask for God's help and blessing on our time. Would you please pray with me? Our loving Eternal Heavenly Father, as we meet this morning to remember Brianna, our dear friend, our dear daughter, our dear sister, our dear mother, we meet to honor you for all of your goodness that we see in her life, to thank you for all of the blessings that have come our way through her. You are the Son, and every good and perfect gift comes from you, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And if you are the Son, then so many of those beams of light and goodness came through Bree to us. And so we say thank you. We grieve our loss, but we would still say, you are a good God. We ask you this morning to be the God of all comfort, the God of all compassion and grace. Give us perspective. Give us wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright, that we might have a heart of wisdom. And above all else, help us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that glory that captured Bree's heart, that changed her. Help us to see Jesus Christ, the only one who can prepare us to die, the only one who can save us from our sins. And it's only Him that can make it so that it is Christ to live and it is gain to die. And that's what you were for Bree. You were her reason for living, and you were her very great reward. And so we ask you to help us this morning and help us to see Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Brianna Rose Curte, 30, of Bremen, went home to be with the Lord at 12:33 on Wednesday, September 29th, 2021, in Fort Wayne Lutheran Hospital. Bree was born August 22nd, 1991, in South Bend to Wade and Tracy Curte. Bree was a dedicated fifth grade teacher at Elm Road Elementary School, where she considered her students and her co-workers a part of her family. She was a member of Grace Fellowship Church in Bremen, and her heart and her desire was to help children in any way possible, including fostering and adopting. Bree is survived by her parents, Wade and Tracy. Three children, Ty and Cheyenne and Gunner. Four siblings, Matthew and Allison Curte of Warsaw, Anthony, James, Anthony, and Nicholas Curte of Bremen. She's also survived by numerous aunts and uncles, cousins, and other extended family members. She had a large family, family at school, a family at church, and a large family that she had made all of her own. If you're going to understand Bree, you need to understand what grace is. Our first song that we are going to sing together this morning, it was one of Bree's favorites, and it's an old familiar song, and I'm sure some of you already know what we're going to sing, but I want you to hear it because she loved it. And she loved it because it was her story. It was her story. She connected to it. She related to it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch is someone that doesn't have any hope, completely bankrupt. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Wretched, lost, blind, but God in mercy and in compassion reached out to Bree and saved her and changed her. And Bree's story is a story of amazing grace of God. And you need to know that if you're going to understand Bree. Mercy and grace followed her all the days of her life. And now she dwells in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to take your blue hymnals. It should be either in front of you or in the front row, guys. It's under your feet or under there, right there. We're going to sing hymn number 402. It's Amazing Grace. Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 402. Be seated. The next song is another one of Bree's favorites. It was born out of a father losing four of his daughters in one horrific day. So Wade and Tracy, this man who wrote this hymn knew the depths of your pain. His four daughters died in a shipwreck in the Atlantic. And his wife alone survived. Several days later, he was crossing the Atlantic on another ship, and they came to the spot where all of his daughters had drowned. And in the next few days, he went to his room, no doubt looking out the ship's window at the sea as it tossed. And he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, and when sorrows like sea billows roll." That's the storm of the sea. "Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And there's a particular reason why he could say that no matter what he was going through, it was well with his soul. The hymn says, "Because Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and he has shed his own blood for my soul." And that's why, no matter what, it was going to be well with his soul. It's hymn 580 in your blue hymnals that we just sang out of. Hymn 580. And I want to encourage you, if you know this, please sing out hymn 580. This morning we are in the shadow of death, and it does cast a dreadful shadow. But God has not left us to wander in the darkness. He speaks. And as he speaks his word, there's a light that sheds abroad on our path, and it begins to open up at our feet. And when all is lost and confused, we begin to see the way forward. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And so listen to the word of God as I read it. "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." There was time for everything in Bree's life. If you ask us, we would say that she's gone far too soon. But she had just enough time to do every good thing that the Lord had called her to do. God stretched out her life on his loom, and he wove everything together, all of her times. Her times of building and her times of planting and embracing and living and then dying. God wove it all together. And the Lord looked. And when he had done everything well, and the tapestry of Bree's life was finished, he cut the string. And he took that tapestry to himself. And now is the time for us to mourn. But we don't weep and we don't mourn alone. There is one right now who knows our sorrow and gives us hope. Listen to the Gospel of John, and this is in chapter 14. It's the first six verses, and what you need to know about this passage is that it's night. It's night outside, and this is the last night that Jesus is going to have with his disciples. He's going to leave them, and it's dark outside, and with this darkness all around that is now beginning to creep into their hearts and sink into their bones and wrap itself around their hearts, Jesus is going to leave them. Something terrible is about to happen. And they are afraid. But Jesus loves them, and so listen to what he says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This morning we are celebrating God's mercy to Bree, and we celebrate God's gift of Bree to us. Wade and Tracy, what a wonderful daughter you had. I can't even number how many times you've told me in the last 2 weeks, she made you so proud. What a gift of God. And her memory and her love will burn in your hearts until you close your eyes and you open them to see Jesus for yourself. And no doubt to see Bree waiting for you on the other side. Every day the veil is getting thinner and thinner, isn't it? Between us and them. And she no doubt is eager for you to join her, as you are eager to go where she is, in the Father's house. So we grieve for ourselves and we grieve for all that's lost, but we don't grieve for where Bree is or what Bree is experiencing now. She's made it home. We all want to go home, and there's this dying urge in our hearts, this desire to we feel homeless and we want to go home. Well, Bree made it home. And angels are her companions now. And saints, the souls of saints made perfect are her friends. And her eyes have seen the risen Lord. And the light of his glory is the light that she lives by. And her days of pain and sadness are behind her. She found her way to the Father's house. And she found it through Jesus Christ, her Savior. Jesus was the way and the truth and the life for her. Ty, Cheyenne, I honestly hurt most of all for you. Your mom was God's gift to you. That she would have done anything for you. She loved you only like a mom can love you. And she loved you with the love of God burning in her heart. And when you remember her, remember how much she loved you and still loves you. And Matt and James and Nicholas and Anthony, your sister was God's gift to you. God's gift to you. Matt, so many memories that you have. Proverbs says the memory of the righteous is blessed. It's just a wonderful thing to think and to remember. And so I hope every time you remember her, may her love and her smile and her kindness bless you. And for all of us, for the rest of us, Bree has a last parting gift for us. One last lesson from a teacher. I never sat in Bree's class. She sat in one of mine. I was her high school Sunday school teacher for years, and I can still picture her sitting in my class, both serious and fun. Bree was a mother, and she longed, like every good mother, for her children to learn and to grow and to become flourishing people, human beings. And Bree was a teacher, and her heart was in it. She loved what she did, and she wanted her students to learn, and she wanted her students to become growing, flourishing human beings. And she's never going to go into another classroom again. She's never going to stand in front of her students with a smile, ready to receive them at the door, or with a frown because they've done something they should not have done. She's never going to have a word for her children, but Bree does have one last lesson plan for all of us as we say goodbye. And this is going to be her last and her most important and her greatest lesson plan of all. This morning, she teaches us three things, and I hope that you will take to heart what she has to teach us. And I want to tell you, these are not easy lessons, but I never took Bree to be a trite, silly person who was afraid of doing and saying hard things. She had grit. She had determination. She wasn't afraid to take on hard challenges. And so, as hard as it may be, I want to ask, what does Bree want us to learn now? Three lessons, and the first is this: no one knows their day or hour. No one knows their day or hour. Let me be honest, this is not what any of us expected. This is not what any of us wanted. We all like to think, and we all do hope so naturally that I will live 80 or 90 years. I will see my children and I will see my grandchildren, and that's what I would have hoped, and that's what I would have wanted for Bree, and I'm sure that is what Bree hoped and wanted for herself. But we are not ensured any sort of guarantee like that. The Word of God says you need to think again about this assumption that you're making, that you will have 80 or 90 years. You will see your children and your grandchildren. Listen to what it says. Listen to you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We'll spend a year there. We'll carry on business. We'll make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. A mist. Last night it was foggy. Driving through the fog, it seems so substantial. There's no fog this morning. It's gone. Another verse. Man is destined to die once, and then after that to face judgment. God appoints men to die once and then to face judgment. It's an appointment that we all have, and it was an appointment that Bree had as well. But no one knows the day or the hour when you will arrive at that appointment. It does not ask you when it should come. It will come to you. Bree didn't know, but her death says to me, your time is short and uncertain. It's fleeting away. And it's this is a surprise and a shock to us all, but it was not a shock to Bree's Creator, to Bree's Savior, to Bree's Lord. All the days of her life were written in the book before any of them came to be. The Lord knew the end all the way from the beginning. No one could have known or would have guessed what happened at 12:33 on September 29th. What that day would bring. But God knew. But do you? If we've seen anything over the last 2 years, is that old men and women live and young women die. We can put off death and we can suppress it and we can forget it. And maybe that's what you wish I would say and do here this morning. But I really am only repeating what is completely obvious of what is going on and what Bree is teaching us and what is staring us in the face. No one knows the day or the hour. But whether your life is long or short, life is brief, and death is sure, and judgment is coming. And again, I know that is not comfortable and that is not cheerful, but Bree isn't teaching us easy things. She's teaching us things that we desperately need to know if we are going to live a life that resembles Bree's in any way. Why was she so zealous? Why was she after things? It was because she knew her life was brief and she was going to face her Lord. And so it's something we need to come to grips with. That's not all that Bree has to teach us. Here's lesson number two. There is salvation in Jesus Christ. Death is not getting the final word here today. Death is a terrible enemy, but Jesus saved Bree. The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The thing you have to know is, and to understand Bree, is that she had a living faith in Jesus, and Jesus saved Bree from her sin. And in that way, Jesus took away death's sting. There is pain, and there is grief, and there is sorrow for us, but there was no sting in Bree's death for Bree. She shut her eyes, and she opened them to glory. She had no reason to fear that rest. She had no reason to fear that appointment. Bree was ready. Bree was ready. I don't say that she wanted to die, but she was ready to die. So what does Bree want us to learn? It's this, that there's salvation in Jesus Christ. I dug through my files last week. I found Bree's personal testimony. It's dated November 13th, 2011. And so we're going to go back in time 10 years. And we're going to ask, what does 20-year-old Bree have to say? And I hope you don't mind if we listen to her for a while. Because she has some words for all of us. Bree writes, "Just as we don't know the day or the time or the hour Jesus will come again, I am also unsure of the exact time God made me his child. There was never a light bulb moment when I knew that second that God had saved me. It was more of a gradual process throughout the years that God really started opening my eyes. My family has had the biggest impact on my life, and I thank God for blessing me with the family that he did, because without them, I would still be a lost sinner. I'm very blessed that God gave me parents that brought me to this church my whole life. I remember growing up with both of my parents, reading the Bible, Bible stories, and praying with my brother and me every single night before we would go to bed. I look back to the years before God saved me, realizing even then that the path I was on was not towards Jesus. There were multiple times when I would think about if God were to come that day, where I would go, and it really scared me because I knew exactly where I was headed. I would always try to put it out of my mind, though, by telling myself, I have time. I have time. When I knew I did not. There was always a verse that stuck out in my mind when I told myself there was plenty of time. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I always knew that God existed, but I never put all my faith and trust in him like I knew I should have. I really started to see the biggest change in my life, and that God was starting to work through me a couple of years ago. During my senior year of high school, I started surrounding myself with new friends that were Christians, and I soon realized that I was more myself when I was with them. We were able to talk to each other about God and the struggles we were having in our lives. There's one family that I became very close to my senior year, and I could immediately tell that they had such a strong faith in God. This family has helped me grow in my faith so much because they're constantly witnessing to others and seem to have such a joy for life because they know that God is waiting for them in heaven. I realize that God has placed my family and friends in my life to help me grow in my faith. Before God saved me, I never felt comfortable talking so freely about God and the sacrifice Jesus made to die for our sins. In Romans 5:8, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it is so humbling to know that all the sins I commit are forgiven because God sacrificed his only son to save me from my sins. He saved me, a person so undeserving of forgiveness. I know God has a plan for my life, and the struggles I face are there to help my faith grow. I have daily struggles, and I know that I am a sinner that is not deserving of God's forgiveness. I thank him every day for saving me and making me one of his children. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I am God's child. He saved me from all my sin. What did Bree say? She said that God saved her. And I don't know how well all of you know Bree. And you might say, Bree was a good person, so of course, she went to heaven. But that's not how Bree thought of herself. That wasn't how Bree thought of her life. That wasn't Bree's testimony or story. She said, I'm undeserving. Bree's salvation and Bree's hope was not in what she did, as wonderful as it was. It was God sacrificed his son for me. Christ died for me. I am a great sinner, but he is a great savior. Her hope was in that grace that we sang about at the very beginning. And so that's the second lesson. Bree's hope wasn't Bree. Her hope of heaven was Jesus. And Jesus saves all those who cry out to mercy for mercy to him, all those who will trust him. He saves all those who will honestly and with all their heart say, I'm not ready to die. I don't deserve mercy, but please give me mercy. Whoever you are, he can save you and forgive you and adopt you. Bree adopted because she had been adopted. And that meant something to her. And that weighed on her heart. She felt it and she rejoiced in it. And she knew at death she was going to her father's house. So Bree was ready to die. Are you? Bree has one final beautiful lesson for us. Living a life of love is beautiful. Living a life of love is beautiful. Her life was beautiful. How do you explain Bree's life? Wade and Tracy and I have talked about this quite a bit. You could sum it up so beautifully in one verse. It's Ephesians 5:1. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Bree was a dearly loved child of God. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So how do you explain Bree's life? It was a life of sacrificial love, costly love. And what do you see when you look at Bree's life? You see an imitator of God. You see a picture of God who sacrificed his son. Christ loved her sacrificially and gave himself up for her. And she turned around and she gave herself up for others, for her children. There's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And she shows us, Bree shows us what true love is, what real living looks like. Love doesn't ask, what will make my life easier? It says, how can I make their life better? Not what will make me happy, but what will bless them. Love will throw itself, love will throw your own heart into the grinder to say, wherever you go, whatever it takes, I'll be there and I will love you. And she did. And it was beautiful. Costly love is beautiful. It's a lot of things. It's shocking. It's alarming. It makes you scratch your head. It's encouraging. Whatever we can say about Bree's love, it was not tame. Her life was short, but you can't say that she didn't live. Costly love is a life well lived. Sacrificial love is a life well lived. So I am incredibly sad and heartbroken, and I'm afraid. And I'm sure you are too. But I've been to funerals for some people, and I think their life was kind of sad, kind of small. Bree's life was anything but that. And she was like Jesus. So 10 years ago, Bree didn't know the plan God had for her. She knew he had a plan. She knew what was going on, and then all these difficulties and struggles. It was for her to grow closer to him. She didn't know the plan God had for her, but she followed him. She loved others. And she loved them well. And so she really does stand in front of this, her last classroom, with her final lesson, and says, no one knows the day or the hour. In her death, she says her time is short. Are you ready? In her testimony, she says, my biggest problem was sin. And the only way I can be right with God is through Jesus Christ. And in her life, she says, here's what love looks like. Here's what love looks like. The cost is high. It is painful. But I will pay that price gladly. And she stands in front of us and says, I imitated God. And it was beautiful. And so imitate me as I imitated him. I think if you are anything like me, Bree's life and death leaves us with lots of unanswered questions. And now just so many unanswered and maybe unanswerable this side of glory kind of questions. But, you know, really the most pertinent and the most important question for all of us is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We witnessed a life and we witnessed a death. We witnessed something beautiful. So what are you going to do? How can you ever be the same? You know, she fastened her eyes on Christ and she ran hard after him. She ran hard in his footsteps. And so what about you? What about you? Will you look to Jesus and run hard after him? You know, we grieve today. We grieve today. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve with two eyes on Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. I said this yesterday. Death has spoken. Jesus the Lord will have the final word. He is the resurrection and the life. And so we grieve with two eyes on him. And that's what Bree would have wanted. Not two eyes on her. Two eyes on her Savior. The one that she loved, and the one that she followed. So what are you going to do? Will you do what she did? Will you do what she did? Looking to Jesus her whole life. Well, that's how we're going to close. We're going to close by singing a hymn together. It's Hallelujah, What a Savior. Hallelujah, What a Friend. It's a song about Jesus. And we're going to look to him. It's number 432 in your blue hymnals. Number 432.
Thank you.
Would you please pray with me? A great God and Savior, thank you for the hope that we have for Bree, that while we are very sad and our hearts are full of darkness and confusion and questions, there is no question that for Bree, to live was Christ and to die was gain. And thank you that even if we arrive to heaven with tears on our cheeks and a broken heart, that you wipe away every tear and you heal the brokenhearted. And so thank you for the hope that we have for her. Thank you for the lessons her life teaches us. Give us grace to follow hard after you. I pray that you would comfort the family and provide for them and care for them. And in the coming days, give them the joy of remembering. I pray that you would uphold them in their sorrows, and when the waves of sorrow threaten to drown them, and when it's one wave after another, hold them and hold them close to you and give them great comfort. Pray that you would give us comfort one and all. We thank you that we can find in you a shoulder to cry on, a chest to hold and to lean upon. And we do pray that the memory of the righteous, of our sister, would be a blessing to us all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God and our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Well, this concludes our service. We are dismissed.